appreciate you.
It might be an unusual place for the announced subject, the rapture, but I'd like to go to a portion of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians, not 1 Thessalonians that we would normally, I guess, consider Paul's premier rapture passage, but 2 Thessalonians. And we will begin with verse 1 and work our way through the paragraph. Amen. This large enclosure, I hear pages turning in the Word of God. Verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren. Paul's talking to saved people. Just for what it's worth, that little noun, brethren, is interesting. Listen to it. Adelphos. Adelphos. It blends two Greek words. One's actually a prefix. And the "ah" there has a unifying effect, pulling together. And Delphos is the Greek word for womb, your mother's womb. Adelphos. We're brothers. We're sisters here tonight. You know what that means spiritually? Hope I get an amen. We're all born out of the same womb. I guess that'd be the womb of the grace of God. I guess the Holy Ghost would be the midwife, maybe. Paul's writing to brethren. We beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul believed Jesus was coming. That word coming, and I realize I can't stop and talk about every single word, but it's parousia, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just captivating. Para means right by your side. A paragraph, paragraph, it is a group of sentences written, and they're by the side of the same subject. If you go to the new subject, you've got to start a new paragraph right by your side. And then parousia, the sia part, it's the Greek verb eimi. And this is what it means. And it's going to happen one of these days. He's coming. Hope I get an amen. And he's going to be right by my side. Right by my side. Parousia. There are two other words for the coming of the Lord. I'd love to give all three, but because of time and the breadth of my text, I might get to insert them as we go through the verses. I'm glad he's coming. Amen. I beseech you by the coming. That's already given us the context of this passage. Just to say this in 90 seconds, learn to observe the context when you are preaching. Greatest contextual preacher I've ever read is G. Campbell Morgan. If you're not familiar with him, get with Corey or get with somebody. Get you some material. He never preaches a sermon, but he considers what went before his text and what comes after his text. Very, very important. The context has already been set. The coming of the Lord. Verse 1. I beseech you by the coming and by our gathering together unto him. By our gathering together unto him. Just to ask the question, it might make it quicker. How many of you believe one of these days we're going to be gathered together unto him? That is a neat little word. It uses synagoge. Synagoge. What in the world does it mean? It's, preacher, it's literally the word synagogue. Synagoge. What does it mean? Ago means to lead. To lead. And soon means together. In mass. One of these days, preacher, he's coming back. Trump of God's going to sound. Voice of the archangel's going to be heard. And we are going to be led. We are going to be led together. Could I get an amen? Into his presence. Hallelujah. So Paul has set the background for what he desires to say to these Thessalonian believers. Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. The specific verb, shaken in mind, they used it. It's a maritime term. Sailors would use it. It means your ship is being blown about relentlessly by strong gales, by strong. Something has happened in the Thessalonian church, and they are being shaken. They're being disturbed by what somebody has told them. And that makes me want to find out what is it that's been, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Be troubled. That word, and I'm doing what I said I wouldn't do. That word trouble, it's weeping. There's a trouble. They're crying out. Preacher, they can't sleep at night. There's a disturb that it is robbing them of the peace that the Lord, that nor be troubled. Now, here's what made them troubled. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Spirit, word, and letter. Spirit, notice it is not a capital S. A spirit. There are good spirits, and there is, of course, the precious Holy Spirit. Will I get an amen? And there's some evil spirits in this world. That's why John had to encourage us to try the spirits. Every spirit is there may have been an evil spirit to get these people disturbed. I think I'll tell you this. The Holy Ghost is the author of peace. He's not going to give you a bunch of worry and fear and doubt. Thank God. So that's the spirit. Or by word, logos, by word. Some preacher may have come by and told them something. Some professor may have. And could I just say something religiously speaking, spiritually speaking? You can't believe every word. You can't believe every word you've heard. Or by letter, epistle, epistole, by letter as from us. What I really think happened, somebody forged a letter in Paul's name and sent it to the Thessalonians. And it said something like this. You forget all Paul said about the rapture. You can forget about it being an imminent event because we're already in the tribulation. And the Thessalonians were suffering. They were suffering severely for their faith. And they could be misled that they were already in the tribulation as a letter from us. And Paul said, that is not so. That is not so. Now, what I'm about to say tonight, forget what I'm about to say, what I'm about to try to explain out of my verses tonight does not mean that we may not go through some hard times, some trying times before Jesus comes again. If the mission agencies are right, 300 people today who are Christians have lost their lives because they have trusted Jesus. They've either been beheaded, burned at the stake, crucified in mockery of how our Savior died, stoned to death, 300 every day the sunrise, and hard. Who's to say that might not happen in America? You may not agree, but I'm afraid we're well on our way to some kind of hardship. I'm not saying that won't happen. But I am fixing to say, I believe with Paul's authority, I'm pretty sure before the Antichrist rules and reigns, I'm pretty sure before the tribulation comes, will I get an amen? We're going to be out of here. Let me step back to my text. I put my scripture on that little board. Verse 3, let no man deceive you. let no man deceive. Preacher, the primary meaning for that verb to deceive is to cheat. To cheat. And it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Let no man cheat you. If the devil can rob you of the peace that Jesus is coming and that he could come tonight, he could come before this service. If the devil can rob you of that peace, if he can take away that blessed hope, he will. Could I get an amen? If you agree, he will put you in turmoil, ladies and gentlemen. Let no man cheat you by any means. For that day, and I think I skipped something at the end of verse 2. The day of Christ. The day of Christ. Got to mean at least Jesus is coming again. Paul interchanges terms very often. A little later on in tonight's text, he will call what we believe to be the Antichrist the man of sin. Then, in the same verse, he calls him the son of perdition. Paul will switch terms. Day of Christ, I believe that's synonymous with the day of the Lord. I believe that's a picture of the tribulation that is going to come on this earth. You read about it in Revelation 6 through 19. It's a coming as sure as I'm standing here. But I got to say it again. I just don't believe God's going to leave his church here during those dark days. We'll get to the verse. In fact, actually, we're already in it. Let no man deceive you, but that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. A falling away first. And then after the falling away, see the comma? And the man of sin be revealed. And then another, a positive, the son of perdition. Brother Ron, I want to talk just a few minutes about that term, falling away. There will be a falling away. And the noun, well, let me not deal with the noun. I'm probably going to have to. It is the word apostasia. Apostasia, which it becomes our word. We borrowed it from Greek. It's a loan word. It becomes our word apostasy. Now listen to me. And it can mean this. Apostasy can and does again and again in the Bible. Apostasis, stepping away from the faith, withdrawing from the faith. And I want to make an announcement that's going on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There are folks who used to grace this tabernacle, and they've stepped away from some of the great things we believe and hold dear to us. It can mean a spiritual departure. Buckle your seatbelts. It can also mean, and I am here to prove it, it can also mean a physical departure. It can mean a physical departure. In the Bibles of yesteryear, Wycliffe, I mean, what a hero to all. In the Wycliffe Bible, that word apostasia is translated a departure in a physical sense. Here's the big debate today. Maybe debate's not the right word. Here's the big conversation today. Is the Lord coming to get us before the tribulation? In the middle of the tribulation? Just before God's wrath, the pre-wrath position of the tribulation, or is he coming to get us at the end of the tribulation? That's probably the most vehement discussion, most heated discussion going on in our crowd to this day. If, maybe it's a big if, I don't know. If I could make a case tonight that that apostasia is a physical departure, not departing from the faith. I need to do it this way. A physical departure. Now, y'all are smarter than this. A physical departure. If it could mean that, we have settled once and for all. We have settled forever. When is the rapture going to occur? It will occur before the man of sin is revealed. It will occur, and it is in my heart to try. Preacher, I don't want to cram anything down anybody's throat tonight. I want to try to show you out of our precious King James Bible this word apostasia, not simply as a noun, but as a verb as well. Apostasia. Y'all ready? I got more examples than I'm going to probably be able to get in. Tell you what I'll do. I'll set this down here on the step. Any of you preachers want to come click it, you know, get out there. You can, and you can go home and study it. Luke 2:37. You don't have to turn. I got them. I'm going to read them. She was a widow. That's Anna, the prophet. She was a widow of about 84 years, listen up, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers. That's the verb of the noun apostasia. She did not depart from the temple. What does that mean? She did not leave. She did not leave. There is apostasia, meaning to leave. To leave. To leave. One of these days, could I get about 4 amens? We are going to leave here. Luke 4:13. Just another illustration. And when the devil's tempting Jesus 40 days. And when the devil had ended the temptation, this is what the devil did. Look at it. Yeah. He departed. He departed. That means the devil did this. Here's Jesus, and the devil left. The devil went away. That is that word. I'm just a wondering. Yes, it can mean a spiritual departure, but I'm just a wondering if it doesn't mean we're going to leave here. We're going to step away from here. We're going to go to glory. Hallelujah. Always heard the Bible's pretty good commentary on the Bible, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Acts 12:10. Peter's getting out of jail, miraculously getting out of jail. And the angel, you know, and they were past the first and second ward. They came to the iron gate that leads to the city, and it opened to them of his own accord. Walmart doesn't have the first doors that opens on its own. And they went out and passed on through one street, and the angel departed. The angel departed. See you later, Peter. The angel departed from Peter. Amen. Wonder if that word apostasy could mean we'll look at this world and we'll bid this see you later world. I'm on my way to meet my Savior in the air. I'm not stretching anything. I'm just showing verses of Scripture here. Acts 15:38. I got a whole list. I won't get them all in. Paul, John Mark, he went with them the first time and quit on that first journey. And now Barnabas wants to take him again. Paul thought it not good to take John Mark with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not to. You know what John Mark did? He left. Physically, he left. Same word. Same word. Why can't it mean physically we're going to leave here? We're going out when the horn, when the trumpet of God sounds. And if I'm anywhere near right, that's going to happen before the Antichrist reign of terror begins. I like this atmosphere. They're listening. I pray we're learning. I'm skipping some. 2 Corinthians 12:8, listen up. Thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. You know what Paul's saying? I want that thorn in the flesh out of here. I want it away from me. I don't want it to plague me. I got some good news for the world. One of these days, we're getting out of here. We're not going to plague them anymore. We're not going to be salt and light. It could mean the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2:19, last one. Skip a bunch. The foundation of the Lord stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. One of these days, God's are coming back. He'll be there in the clouds. Trumpet of God's going to sound. Will I get an amen? And we are going to depart from iniquity. Do I insist? Am I going to say you're wrong if you preach it to? I am not. I ain't come to sow any division but I just gave you enough examples for me to say they may be something to this. He may come get us before what, preacher? Verse 3. That day won't come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Oh my. That word revealed, watch my handkerchief. That word revealed, it gives us our word apocalypse. Now, everybody knows what's under that handkerchief, the microphone. But you can't see what's under there. So now, I'm going to do a little apocalyptic work. I'm going to remove the veil. And when the veil gets gone, I wish some of you would say amen. Get ready now. That's one of the words. Parousia is one. Apocalypsis, that's another one of the words for when Jesus comes again. Y'all not going to believe this. I've never seen him. I've never laid eyes on him. I can't tell you how tall he is. I can't describe every physical feature. But one of these days, if you want to say amen, it'll be all right. One of these days, I'm going to see him. The veil's going to be removed. Hallelujah to God. But the Antichrist also, man of sin, will be revealed. Everything God's got, the devil will try to copycat. He'll try to mimic it. Oh, the grand revelation of my Savior. But Satan says, my boy's going to have one. By the way, the Antichrist will have one. Excuse my bad grammar. I know better. I just use it for emphasis. Antichrist's going to have an unveiling, but I ain't going to be here. Man of sin be revealed. Then Paul calls him the son of perdition. Verse 4. I'm going to say a little bit more about apostasy, y'all, and the possibility of it being a physical departure. I would appeal to the overall context of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Did y'all know this? And if you don't, write it down. Paul mentions the return of Jesus in every single chapter in 1st Thessalonians and every single chapter in 2nd Thessalonians. If that doesn't build a context, I don't know what does. That makes me believe all the stronger that could be apostasia, a physical departure. The general context, the broad context allows me to believe that. Let's narrow it down to the specific context. And here, I just read verse 1 a minute ago. His coming. And not only His coming, our episunagoge, our going to meet Him in the air. That's the immediate context. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I just believe we're leaving here before those dark days come. I'm going to interject a couple things I didn't intend to, but when the Lord brings something to mind, I take that as... I don't think you can mix the church and Israel. We need to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Mix the church and Israel, you'll end up being amillennial. You'll end up being a rank liberal. No, no, no. God's not done with Israel yet, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, sir. Good mind to bring you a microphone. Let you say it. The tribulation is for Israel, not for the church. The tribulation is for Israel. You can't prove that. Well, I can prove it with one verse in Jeremiah. You know what he calls the tribulation? The time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob ain't no Gentile. Somebody say amen. The time of tribulation is when God's bringing Israel to her knees, putting her under Holy Ghost conviction, humbling her down, and when He rides that white horse out of glory, Israel is going to be saved. Hallelujah. That sort of came to mind. And then without making light or belittling anybody's beliefs, if you believe in the blood of Jesus, you get washed in the blood of the... If you believe the fundamentals, we're going to get along real good. But the idea that... here's the Lord. How many of you believe we comprise part of His bride? Y'all say amen. I'll preach faster if you'll say amen. And that means we're part of the bride. I think He's the bridegroom. And I think we're probably going to a marriage supper one of these days. All right? What would happen if the bride heard these words from the bridegroom? Honey, I love you. Ain't going to be long till the marriage supper. But I think I'm just going to give you a real good beating right before we get married. I'm going to put you through 7 years of agony. I'm going to turn you every way but loose. You'll be black and blue when you come out of it. It'll do you good. I'm gonna whoop you real good, and then we're going to get married. That is a wedding that might not happen, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe the Lord's going to beat me. I don't believe the Lord's going to say, I may go through hard times, and that will be, I believe we're out of here before the time of Jacob's trouble begins. I appreciate you listening as intently as you are. Verse 4, I'll speed up. I must. Antichrist, son of perdition, man of sin. Remember ye not when I was yet with you? I told you. I skipped a verse, didn't I? Verse 4. Y'all didn't want to admit I had skipped a verse, I don't think. And whoever hollered out verse 12, you're out of order, my brother. Verse 4, Antichrist. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Young preacher Hobbes, quoting from Isaiah 14, the devil's five I wills. The Antichrist opposeth. That verb, it's the verb for lay down. What you going to do tonight when you get in the bed? And it uses anti and pro. He's going to oppose the Lord. He's going to block the Lord. He's going to lean against the Lord. He opposeth and exalteth himself. That is the word hyper. Hyper. Exalt. Uplift. Magnify him. That's what the devil. Oh my, what a timely message we just heard. It's not about us. It's all about him. I'm not to serve myself. I'm to serve the Lord God Almighty like my Savior did. Amen. In honor, preferring one another, I'm told. Not the Antichrist. He's opposing. He's exalting above everything that is called God, or that is worshiped. Or that is worship. I can't stop much more. Or that is worship. It is the word, it comes from the word sebo, I guess it's the root. That is held reverent. That is held in honor. Worship in that sense. He, the devil, the Antichrist will destroy every vestige of honor and adoration and worship of the Lord that he possibly can. And I want to wave the flag tonight. His banner over me is love. I want to say something from the depths of my heart. Hallelujah. I want to love him. I want to reverence him. I want to honor him. That's one reason we're here tonight, ladies. Opposing. Exalting everything that's called God. Everything that is worship goes this far. I think what I'm about to read happens in the middle of the tribulation. Jesus had a word for it. He got his cue from Daniel. Jesus was a great Old Testament student. The abomination of desolation. Read it. Read it. You say, preacher, why am I going to learn about all that? You say we're going to be out of here. Well, Jordan hit it a minute ago. There may be some lost people in this building. And I'm here to tell you, I fear that if the rapture comes tonight, if the rapture comes tonight, you've heard the gospel, you've been pled with to be saved. I fear for you. I won't get any amens. It'll be too late. We'll get to it in a minute. God can send delusion. If I harden my heart, I fear it'll be, hey, knowing these things might help me pray for my lost loved one, might help me be a better sinner, a lover of sinners, might help me leave a gospel tract somewhere that it'll be read. Preacher, you hadn't told us what he's going to do. I'm going to try him. Where is it? He'll go into the temple, showing himself. Yeah, into verse 4. So that he as God. See that? He as God. That's all he's ever wanted to be. Jesus, third prong of the temptation in the wilderness. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms, all the glory, all the wealth of the kingdoms of the world. Hallelujah. That's all the devil's ever wanted, for the Lord Jesus to bow down. He as God. Through the Antichrist, he's going to get his way. He as God, he will go into the temple. That's the tribulation temple. That's a temple that's going to be built, as sure according to the word of God, sure as I'm standing here. He'll go into that temple showing himself that he is God. He'll sit down on that. Wouldn't surprise me if they got a mercy seat. He'll sit right there and he'll demand to be worshipped, and this deluded, this deceived world, I don't know if I'll get an amen. We'll worship him. Wow. Let's get another verse as I rush now through the text. Oh, yeah. Verse 5. I sort of remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. I just want to say about 60 seconds on that fifth verse. I've heard it again and again. Now, preacher, don't preach Bible prophecy to new converts. They can't handle it. You'll choke them to death. Why, they hadn't grown mature. These Thessalonians have probably been saved only a few months. And Paul says, I've already told you about the rapture. I've already told you about the tribulation. Are y'all with me? I've already told you about the Antichrist. I've already told you about the abomination. We need to hear that God knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. I need 90 seconds of repetition. Why study Bible prophecy? Number one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it'll make you live a cleaner life. It'll make you, if you've got that hope in you that he's coming, you will be pure. Number two, it'll give me rewards. I'll get the crown of righteousness, Paul said, if I love his appearance. You tell me something and get me the crown of righteousness. You tell me something that'll help me live a pure life. I'm a-going for it, bless you. Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy. Well, I don't think I've preached a lot of Bible prophecy at Taylorsville through the years. The night Miss Mildred died, you and Brother Rule, we learned of it during that Friday night meeting. And y'all went over to the home as you naturally, her pastor, would do. God just tore my sermon up. And I preached Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. Will I get an amen? What the saint is now saying as soon as they depart this body. She saw a throne. She saw a rainbow around that throne. She saw a crowd worshiping. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And then on top of that, she saw the Lord. Amen. Paul said, we need Bible prophecy. Verse 6. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to bore you. But I got to get, if I can, a few more verses in. I'm watching the time. You know what withholdeth. Uh-oh. Because that word's coming up two or three times now. We got to figure out who is the withholder. I have read today, somebody says it's government. Well, government ain't withholding much anymore. Somebody said it's, and they got all kinds of, I will tell you, I'm pretty sure of this, the holder, the withholder is none other, your amen will deserve how, will determine how, it's none other than God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me give you that word, withhold. Kata, prefix, preposition, it means down, down. Echo, the verb that means to hold. Here's what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. He is holding down. He is holding back. He is restraining the flood of iniquity that will burst the dam and will flood this world when the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way. In Romans 1, I'd love to. Romans 1, Paul says this reprobate world, they know the truth. They know God created this world. They know they're sinners. Their conscience alone. The law of God's written in there. They withhold the truth. They suppress the truth. But the Holy Ghost. You say it's getting bad. Ain't nothing like it's going to be after the rapture, bless you. He who now, and notice it does say he, masculine, Holy Ghost. He who now withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. I'm hacking it all up. The Holy Ghost is going to withhold until the Antichrist is revealed. I don't know where my handkerchief got to right here. This is not going to happen concerning the Antichrist until we have been caught up to heaven, until the restraining Holy Ghost has pulled back. Then that is going to occur. Are you all right? There's something else here. Verse 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, he who now withholdeth, will withhold until he be taken out of the way. Try to explain something for about 2 minutes. What in the world does that mean? There's no doubt in my mind, during the tribulation, there will be people saved. 144,000 Jewish evangelists, an angel preaching there will be people saved. But I'm of the opinion it won't be people who've rejected Jesus Christ in this age of grace. It'll be a crowd, and there's a big crowd, and it's growing every day, who have not heard the truth. Holy Ghost will be working during the tribulation. But remember, that's Old Testament ground. That's Jewish ground, the Holy Ghost ministry. Do you all realize the day of Pentecost, that belongs to the age of grace? That belongs to the church age. What's so special about that? All right. In the Old Testament, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost could come on a man, use that man, and then withdraw from that man. David prayed, "Oh God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Samson wist not, he knew not that the Spirit, that the Lord had departed from him. That's the Old Testament ministry of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to smile at me now. In the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost convicted me, after he nudged me toward faith in the Lord Jesus, and I believed, after he indwelt me, after he fills me, I got some good news. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Forevermore, he is by my side. But at the rapture, when we're caught away, the Holy Ghost reverts to that restrainer. The restrainer steps back. He who now letteth will let until he... But we better thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost today. Let me hurry and try to finish. Verse 8, I'll read it. Then, preacher, look at that. Then shall that wicked... Holy Ghost taken out of the way. Brother Ron, that's a rapture. Holy Ghost said, then shall that wicked be revealed. You say, preacher, I'm worried. Notice it's a capital W in your King James Bible. It's a substantive, that wicked one. We've got man of sin, son of perdition, that wicked one, all names for the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. I can't preach all that verse, but I'm going to give you one picture. The Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth. That word consume, it's the Iro verb, A-I-R-O. I remember times, Brother Randy, I remember times in church, I'd get to doing what my daddy called wiggling. We don't wiggle in church. We sit still. We listen to the man of God. I'd get to wiggling. My daddy would point that finger at me. He said, boy, I'll jerk you up. I'll take you out of here. And I will teach you a lesson about wiggling in church. That will cure your wiggling propensity right there. Take you up. Jerk you up. The Lord's coming back. He's going to jerk the Antichrist up. He's going to say, the Antichrist, the Antichrist is going to meet his Waterloo when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. With the spirit of his mouth. Pneuma. I'm watching you. I am trying to get through in my text. Pneuma. All it means is breath. Here's how the Lord will destroy the Antichrist. Don't get alarmed. I'm not going. I'm not sure all of you got it. He'll destroy him with the breath of his mouth. I've got mine to say something. Poor devil. Poor Antichrist. And got a chance against the omnipotence of an almighty God. Verse 9. He's coming. That's the Antichrist. Preacher, there's parousia again. Jesus has got a parousia. Antichrist, who's coming, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Let me show you how the Antichrist is going to get his following. Power, signs, and lying wonders. I'm going to group them all together for time's sake. It equates to the word miracles. Miracles. I'm going to make a statement. Half of you probably won't agree with me. The devil can work miracles. See, that was a somber amen. What's in your hand, Moses? That's a rod. Throw it down. And the rod became a what? Pick it up. Yeah, I know which end I'd pick up, and that serpent, all that. I'd get the back end of that thing, and I'll declare, my Bible says Pharaoh's soothsayers, his demon worshipers, threw their rod on the ground. Am I right or wrong? And their rods became serpents too. The devil can work miracles. Lying wonders could be, I'll get in trouble, tongues. Oh, preacher, why? We don't agree with them, but tongues can't be of the devil. There are times tongues can be of the devil. I was preaching in Jamaica. I was a young preacher. Missionary said, he didn't have any more sense than I did, you want to meet a real witch doctor? I didn't treat me. I said, I believe I do. He put me in his car, drove me a little ways there across the island. We went into this thatched hut roof, and dumb me, I said, make my picture by this witch doctor over here. I settled in by that rascal. I smiled. He's about to snap that picture, and I'm telling you the truth, that witch doctor, a worshiper of evil spirits, broke out speaking in tongues. He broke out speaking in tongues. He wasn't speaking the native language of the land. He broke the devil. You won't say amen. The devil can be mighty religious if he needs to be. Miracles. miracles. But you say, why are we going into all this? Frankly, I don't know, because we ain't going to be here. Hallelujah. But I didn't get to strong delusion. I didn't get to strong delusion. Verse 11. Verse 12. God says this. See if you agree. Give me two more minutes. I'm done. See if you'll agree. We are living in a very gullible age. Look at American government today if you don't believe it. Gullible. And that's with the restrainer. They didn't receive the truth, and they suppressed the truth. The restrainer is in place. When the Holy Ghost, God will send this world strong. That's the word that gives us energia, energy. Energetic delusion. Delusion is plane. It's the word planet. To the ancient astronomers, a planet was something out there wandering around in outer darkness. God's going to send this world delusion. They're going to believe a lie. They're going to be out yonder wondering. They're not going to have a clue at what's going on. Thank God again. Thank God we're not going to be here. And they will believe. They will believe the lie. I don't know that I've accomplished my goal. I sure have had an enjoyable time trying to talk about these verses. But I hope I've planted a seed of thought that it just might be that apostasia is a, yes, sir, early in Paul's ministry, he did not talk about a departing from the faith. This is important. He did not, early in his ministry, all he could talk about, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he could come today. He could. Some of the Thessalonians quit their jobs. They said, Paul said, Jesus is coming. I believe he's coming today. I ain't going to go clock in. And Paul had to correct that, of course. They're looking for him any day. Wasn't looking for apostasia. I don't think that. Now later, 2 Timothy, that is a different story. Later in his life. But early on, it's not apostasy in my thought. It's the fact that he's coming. The fact that he's coming to catch us home. Nathaniel's prayer didn't get answered. Said he prayed the Lord would rapture us. And so the service is about over. But midnight hadn't got here yet. Tomorrow morning's sun hasn't risen yet. Jesus is coming again. Would you stand with us, heads bowed, eyes closed?